Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult and conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
And we're back.
We're back again. You
just got home.
Just got home from another warm place.
Yes. Last night.
From Arizona. Technically.
It'll be last night when this episode comes out.
Yep. Oh, damn. So you're gone until Monday?
Monday to Monday. Yeah, because we wanted to stay for the Super Bowl.
Fine.
And my original trip was Wednesday to Monday, but my schedule opened up, so I was able to leave a little earlier.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Kind of nice for me.
Because when I go down at the end of the month, I am
Did we say where we're going to be? Arizona.
Yeah, shoot. When you're,
yeah.
I'm going to go Thursday evening until Sunday, like, night. I'm taking a red eye home.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting. I didn't sleep at all on the way home yesterday.
Well, hopefully you can sleep.
Which for me is unusual.
Yeah, that's not like you.
No, I read a book the entire time.
You might have to send me some recs because I have...
I'm reading the Never After series right now.
Oh, is that The Hooked?
Yeah.
You let me borrow that.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
I have four more that I'm done with.
And they're not marked up. So you'll let me take one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I take one? Mm-hmm. On my trip with me?
Yeah, I've Hooked, I've Scarred, I've Twisted. Actually I have five more that I've read already. I have Wretched and I have what was the last one?
Just give me your favorite.
Honestly, I really liked Twisted.
Okay.
It was the Aladdin
based. Oh, yeah.
It was really good.
Cool.
Cursed. It's the Quasimodo or the Hunchback of Notre Dame one.
Cool.
That one was
interesting.
It was good, but I was like, maybe you should not be reading this around children.
Oh my God. Is it that the funniest?
It's like, I mean, a lot of these kids are all wearing Disney merch. And then I'm like reading this
like
fractured
super
fairy tale.
Smutty, like.
And I was like, we're just going to hold this closer to my face.
That's so funny.
No one can read what I was like.
I think about it all the time because, like, I have my Kindle, you know?
Yeah.
And I have my stickers on the back. And it's, like, they're funny. Like, they say, like, good girl. Like,
yeah.
My friends got them for me. Like, one says, like, caution, slippery while reading. And it's, like, a wet, like, sign. So I'm, like, I can't believe I take this out in public with me. Like,
you're, like, we're just going to put this in.
Yeah. Yeah. One's, like, a tombstone. It's, like, when I die, delete my Kindle history. I'm, like. Whatever.
That's
just
so funny.
Don't look at me, okay? It's it's all jokes.
So I was like, we're just gonna hold this closer to my body for these few pages. I liked it though. I've liked everything of hers that I've read.
Cool.
So it's Hooked is Peter Pan.
Yep. We don't need to go through all of them, but
well, what if our listeners want to know?
They can look it up. Hooked, Twisted.
Twisted is Aladdin. Scarred is Lion King.
Makes sense.
Wretched is actually Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
That was interesting. And then...
Who's the love interest?
The Wicked Witch of the West is...
And the...
It, and then...
The Wizard? That'd be freaking crazy.
No.
Missed opportunity.
No, I don't really know who he's... I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't... Mm. I'm wondering if it's based more off of Wicked than The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
But I liked it. Okay. The ending was not exactly what I was expecting. They all have happily ever after endings.
Yeah, thank God.
Which is nice.
Because I just finished, I can say really fast before we get into the episode, but I just finished Onyx Storm.
Yeah.
Which is the third book in the Fourth Wing series that just dropped.
Yes.
She is going to be the death of me.
Ashley was reading it.
Oh, she was?
On the trip, yeah.
Oh, my God. I would love to know her thoughts on it because...
Well, and here's why I know I need to read them because Steph has read them, Chris has read them, and Ashley has read them.
Well, you can borrow. I have them all. You can borrow them.
I might need to.
The second one's pretty long, but the first one is... you could probably read
it. Let's do a little book swap.
A little book swap? Yeah. It was very good.
I mean, I know I won't see you before you leave, but...
It's just, like, I know she's not known to write happily ever afters, and that's, like, freaking me out a little bit. And there's two left in the series, and I'm just, like, I don't know. I also have this thing. I don't know how you feel about this, but, and this isn't really a spoiler. Wait, it maybe is a little bit. Well, not really, but there's, do you basically there's a problem that the main character needs to solve. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of making me not like one of the main characters. And it's taking like a very long time. I mean, it's not that I don't like the main character. It's just, I just hate when it takes a full, like, how long am I going to have to read about them trying to figure out how to solve
the
this thing. Problem? Yeah. Is it going to be the rest of the three books? Because I'm not going to be into that.
There's a series that I read the first two books of where it was like, it's a slow burn. But it is I hate a
slow burn. Oh my god, kill me.
I almost don't want to read the third book because I'm so bored of this.
Yeah.
Like, the miscommunication is just, it's not comical anymore. It's just kind of annoying.
Annoying. Yeah. Yeah. And I will say it.
And that's why I'm not saying like the series of the book.
And I will say that that's kind of like the second book in this series is kind of that same way where it's like, oh my god, are we gonna like do this again? Are we gonna do this again? Like, Rebecca Yarros is, she's a good writer, but she's not my favorite writer. She's some of the stuff she does, I'm like, oh my god, like, okay, let's get past this now. You know what I mean? But it's good. It's interesting. I think you would like them. You're not going to like them as much as I think you would like ACOTAR or Throne of Glass. I keep calling it Thorn of Glass, but it's Throne of Glass.
This is the one with like the
Yeah, it's got dragons. Yeah. On it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one Ashley was reading.
Yeah.
On vacation.
Yeah.
So
I would love to know her thoughts.
I can
put put us in a group chat. Just kidding. Don't, because I don't want you to be spoiled. But
when I'm done reading it, I will.
We can all talk about it. Yeah. This is nice because my friend Angie, Abby, and Angie's sister-in-law, Jenna, were in a book club like text group chat.
Cute.
And we all read Iron Flame and Fourth Wing and Onyx Storm. Abby hasn't finished Onyx Storm yet, so we haven't been able to talk about it with her, but me, Angie, and Jenna have been able to talk, and I'm like, oh, it's so nice when your friend's reading the same book as you, because you actually have someone to talk about it with, which is part of the reason why I'm so annoyed no one's read Throne of Glass, because nobody could talk about it with me. So
I will have to see if any of the variants have read that one.
Oh, please do.
Because if they have, again, you know how you say you and Des are like the same person?
Yeah.
They're me and I am them.
Yeah.
Like, we're all the same person. Yeah. It's shocking.
I'd be shocked if they hadn't. If they're reading Fourth Wing. I'm sure they have. Because it's all kind of in the same.
I'll have to ask.
Like, you know, that fantasy kind of fae or magic.
Yeah. I'm doing a bingo. I know this is getting so long, you guys. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Last thing.
Well, second to last thing.
Yeah. I'm doing a book bingo that I got from Tropes and Trifles.
Oh.
And, like, one
they're
of
they're hiring.
Are they?
Yeah.
Cute. You should apply there. You're closer than I am. But so one of the like things was like a book that has dropped in 2025.
Oh.
So, and I have to do it before April. So.
Oh. But you're going to have to.
I'll have to read that before April.
Yeah.
I think Hexed, the next Emily McIntyre from I think that just dropped this year too. And that one's Little Mermaid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then
because you usually read before bed, right?
Yeah.
I can't do that because, like, I will read until.
Well, so do I. So do I. It's a problem.
Okay.
So that I have.
Even with the sleep shots? Have you tried it with, doing the sleep shot and then.
Yeah.
A little bit and it's still.
Well, I just am, like, fighting for my life at some point, you know? Like, my eyes are half closed.
You're, like, one-eyeing it.
Yeah. But, the sleep shots, I'm still taking them. I'm still loving them. I've mixed them with the mental performance shots that.
And those are the daytime ones.
Okay. Yes, I take that in the morning, take the sleep shot before I go to bed. And I've definitely noticed a change in how I've been sleeping and waking up feeling a little bit more refreshed. And I mentioned this way back, but the mental performance shots have helped with my non-afternoon slump and really just like helping me get through the day without having to just consume a copious amount of caffeine like I normally do. So it's been really nice. Yeah, I really have liked
that all natural is really helpful.
Cause then
you don't have to be as worried about like what are the negative side of, you know, there's like not a negative side effect,
right? Exactly,
because it's all natural.
Yeah. And so. I do believe we still have the discount code going. Yes. So you want to pop that in here. We'll also put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be underneath the sources.
Cool.
In the show notes. So the limited time offer that we have that you can use now, it gets you 40% off of your first subscription or 20% off a one-time purchase. Our code is MWMadness20 at checkout, and you can claim it at www.magicmind.com/MWMadness.
And don't forget to bundle and save.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
I would recommend. Because
you're enjoying both.
Both, so yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're not like, well, I feel better with this one.
No, I'm enjoying them both. Yeah. And I think they work, in my opinion, probably better together.
Interesting, because you did have the daytime ones.
I had the daytime ones before by themselves, but I do liked doing them together.
Okay,
the
good to know.
Best. So there you go.
That's good to know.
Get into our story?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this.
So. I legit forgot it was my turn.
Yeah.
All right, so we're hopping in the time machine. We're going back.
Okay.
To
the future.
No, unfortunately not. Because I'd like to get out of this timeline, honestly, just like a little bit.
For real.
So our story is actually going to start very briefly in New York City, but it doesn't stay there very long. So born on January 17th, 1899.
Way back.
Yeah. Alfonso Gabriel Capone.
Oh. Al Capone. Oh, yeah. I didn't know he was born in the 1800s.
I know. Me either. I was like, damn.
Old.
Yeah. He was born in New York City and ended up running the Chicago outfit of the mob from 1925 to 1931. So he was one of 8 children, which is a lot of kids. One of which did actually end up on the other side of the law from his brother, James Capone, who later changed his name to Richard Hart, ended up being a prohibition agent in Nebraska.
No way.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is funny.
So, and like, obviously you'd have to change your name if you were in law enforcement with the last name of Capone. And then 2 of his siblings did work kind of with / for him, for Al, but not for, obviously not for Richard, but. So I just thought that was really interesting. When I was writing this one, I had a really hard time calling him just Al because it feels wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say his full name pretty much every time. So if that's weird, sorry. So Al Capone, his life of crime started in his teens after getting kicked out of Catholic school for hitting a teacher in the face at 14.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
Not a regular school or Catholic school.
No. Even worse for the time, it was a female teacher that he hit in the face.
Oops.
So, like, a male teacher, I think maybe it would have slid back way back then. Like,
I have no idea.
They beat the shit out of the students back then sometimes. Yeah. But considering it was a female.
So it was a nun?
I don't. It could have been. Or a novitiate, I guess.
Interesting.
It just said female teacher.
Yeah.
So, along with becoming a bouncer for the Five Points gang, working at locations like brothels, Al Capone worked at a candy store, a bowling alley, and played semi-professional baseball from 1916 to 1918.
Wow, what a well-rounded individual.
I know. I was like, damn, guy. It was while he was working as a bouncer at a location called the Harvard Inn that Al Capone insulted a woman while he was working the door, and her brother ended up slashing his face 3 times with a knife, which is how he got the nickname Scarface.
Oh.
Which is one that he apparently hated.
Oh.
Later in his life,
Embrace it, Al.
I know, you'd think. Later in his life, he would tell people that it was an old war wound, and often in photographs would try to hide the left side of his face to hide the scarring. When he was 19, Al Capone married his wife, May Josephine Conklin, on December 30th, 1918. They had a son earlier that month, a boy named Albert Francis Sonny Capone, who died in 2004.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was surprised. I was like, damn, we lived at the same time as Al Capone's kid? That's crazy.
Cool.
So it does sound like he and May stayed married his entire life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising. I'm not saying that he was a particularly faithful husband.
Yeah.
But they did remain married, and from what I read, it seems like they had a pretty happy.
I've heard that before, actually. Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound like he mistreated her or anything. I do think he slept around a little bit in the beginning of their marriage, but
No real surprise.
C'est la vie, I guess.
Yeah.
Not a thing that I would let slide, but back in the day, I think you had less opportunity to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know. So in his early 20s, he and his family left New York City and moved to Chicago, where he became the bodyguard of a man named Johnny Toro. Eventually, Johnny would run the crime organization, the Chicago Outfitters, who supplied alcohol during Prohibition to Chicago. This was when Al Capone's name started to appear in newspapers, specifically in the sports section, calling him a quote-unquote boxing promoter. So,
a bookie?
Take that how you will.
Okay.
When Al Capone started working with Johnny, there was another man in charge of the Chicago Outfitters by the name of James Big Jim Colosimo. But after Big Jim's murder on May 11th, 1920, Johnny took over, and it was believed that Johnny was very involved in this murder. And if Johnny was involved, then Al Capone was also involved, is kind of how that worked.
Okay.
So this made Al Capone the right-hand man to one of the biggest crime bosses in Chicago at the time. During Prohibition, it was said that Capone ran the Canada shipments. He always denied any knowledge of Canada or any of the bigger Canadian, like, bosses. But, so, like, when people would ask him, like, if he knew a certain person or if he knew anything about it, he would say, quote, "Why, I don't even know what street Canada is on," end quote, which I think is so funny. So while some experts do believe that he had hideouts in Canada, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police officially state that there is not any evidence that Al Capone ever set foot on Canadian soil.
I believe it was Al Capone who had a hideout in Scandia area.
I think you're right.
I think he was the one who used to stop at Meister's. Oh, and you know what?
Oh, I just watched a light bulb click on over Emily's head.
Yeah. my friend Lauren, but you know Lauren too. Her bachelorette party was at that
right.
house on that lake in Wisconsin, yeah. that Al Capone and his... I thought
that was Dillinger, but no, you're right.
No, it's Al Capone, yeah. Yeah,
you're right.
So at the place that Al Capone used to hang out in Wisconsin. So you can, there is an Airbnb that you can stay at.
That is...
So that was pretty cool.
That's sick.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I wonder if it's haunted.
It might be. I think it probably was, in my opinion. The basement, I think. Ooh. The basement was like the bar restaurant.
Okay.
And the upstairs was like the living area. Mm. Definitely felt like the basement had some vibes.
Some ickies.
Yeah.
I mean, the men that frequented that area would have lived a very dark life. So that's not overly surprising.
Yeah.
So after the Northside Gang, which was another gang in Chicago, almost killed Johnny, shooting him several times, he retired, handing control of the Chicago Outfitters to Al Capone, who was only 26 at the time.
Damn.
I know. I was really surprised at how young he was. I was like, wow, look at you. Career goals at 26. If he was a girl, we'd call him a girl boss.
Yeah. So he's a mafia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a don, I believe?
They just called him a boss.
A boss. Okay.
So that's what I read. So Al Capone continued to expand the bootlegging operation, mostly violently, which probably not a huge surprise. And he also built some solid relationships with Mayor William Hale Thompson and the Chicago police. So he was pretty well protected on the criminal side and on the legal side from pretty much everything at this point. So some of the violence included bombings. If a location refused to purchase liquor from Capone's operation, it often got blown up, and as many as 100 people were killed in these bombings during the 1920s.
That's not good.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't realize that. Like, obviously, I think everybody's heard of Al Capone.
Yeah.
At least in the United States. Definitely in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he was... His syndicate, his gang, his group, his team,
team
homies. I don't know. I don't know what to call him. I don't want to get on a hit list somewhere. His besties were known for bombings. I didn't know that.
I'm still trying to have a take a normie to work day.
And I'm still going to say Emily. No. I mean, if anyone could do it and not get killed, it's you.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment because we listen and we don't judge.
Yeah.
Danielle cannot play that game.
Yeah.
Because Danielle's face absolutely judges. So it would have to be like a phone call if we listen and we don't judge.
Yeah.
So anyways, he also ended up getting kind of like a celebrity status. And since he had these connections to politicians and to the police, he kind of was able to live a more open lifestyle than you would expect from a mafiosa.
Yeah, because it's very interesting because obviously they're still around today, but they're not as publicized as they were back in the day. Like, you don't even know who they are now.
Unless you know, you know.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
Or, like, unless you know, you don't know, I guess is more what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, he would go to baseball games and, like, wave at a cheering crowd that was, like, there cheering for him. Because he, like, donated tons of money to places and was, he seemed to just, like, really take care of his community. So.
Still a bad guy. But.
Yeah, not a good guy, but he had motives that made him seem less terrible.
Yeah.
I guess. One of the biggest rivals that Capone had was a man called Joe Elio, who wanted to be the head of the Unione Siciliana, a Sicilian-American benevolent society, kind of like the Freemasons.
Okay.
So, like, that idea, but, like, way more corrupt, because they were, like, infiltrated by the mob.
Yeah.
So Freemasons are fine. I'm not saying that they're corrupt. I'm saying it's like the same idea of like a brotherhood.
Got it.
But then, unfortunately, this one did become corrupt. So one of Capone's friends got named as the head of the Unione, and that really pissed off Joe, who believed that Capone had pulled some strings to get his friend elected. And he was like, I don't like this guy messing with my society, basically. So in the spring of 1927, Joe started his attempted murders of Capone.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. First attempt was to put poison in his soup at his favorite restaurant, the Bella Napoli Cafe. But the chef that was offered between $10,000 and $35,000, which is still a huge sum of money back then.
Yeah.
I almost said $100,000.
Yeah,
I was
like,
that's not right. He refused and then exposed the plot to Capone. And Capone responded by having some men shoot up Joe's bakery. Nobody was killed in that shooting, but his brother was injured. So it sounds like they just kind of like went and just like sprayed it with bullets, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Not great. Then Joe hired several hitmen, and they would instead end up dead rather than Capone.
Holy.
Yeah. There had been a $25,000 bounty, and then it was up to a $50,000 bounty, and at least 10 more would-be assassins would end up dead.
Holy cow.
I know. Don't know how they were so good at catching these guys. They must have been terrible assassins. In November,
should have hired a woman.
For real, though. In November, there were two separate machine gun ambushes that were foiled by tip-offs to the police. And one was on Al Capone and one was on like a really close colleague of his, whose name I forgot to write down. It started with an L. So the police ended up arresting them and then they ratted out Joe. So then Joe got arrested. And Capone ended up sending several men to stake out that police station. But after a full police escort, Joe made it out alive. He did not make it to the court case. Not because he died, but because he had a huge panic attack and like literally like lost his shit for a while.
Oh gosh.
And then ended up moving to New Jersey, where he continued his vendetta against Al Capone. From afar.
Okay.
Which sounds a lot safer.
I thought he was just going to be done, but no, he continued on.
Yeah. Okay. Brave guy. So for a long time, Al Capone had this like very Robin Hood-y mentality and esque-ness to him.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that led to the change of that reputation would be the Valentine's Day massacre.
Yes. Okay. I was actually going to do this story for Valentine's Day, so now I won't do it.
Oops, sorry. <That's okay. laughs> So basically in 1929 on Valentine's Day, seven members of a rival gang were murdered in broad daylight by men posing as police officers. While Al Capone was not in the state of Illinois, he was living down in his house in Florida. It is fairly well known and pretty confident that the men that did the shooting were members of Al Capone's gang.
Yeah.
So he was very involved in that, and this again became known as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It also led there being an outcry for Capone to be jailed, and papers began calling him public enemy number one.
Ooh, so they 180'd him.
Oh, yeah, because I think this was such a brazen act of violence.
Yeah.
That it was just like, holy shit, like we can't look past this anymore.
Yeah.
So in 1931, the federal government became intent on putting Capone in jail. They ended up charging him with 22 counts of tax evasion and ended up convicting him and charging him with 11 years in federal prison. Capone ended up serving 8 of the 11 years in prison, showing signs of neurosyphilis early in his jail time. So it's believed that he It's believed that he got syphilis from a sex worker when he was working as a bouncer for the doors of the
brothels.
And when he was doing that, he was already married to May.
Oh.
So that's...
Yeah.
And it was treated with whatever they were treating it with for a while. And then, you know, that at the end of the day, that just kind of was it for him. There are several reports that he was haunted by the ghost of a victim from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre while at Alcatraz, which is one of the places he served time. And it was said that he was often heard screaming or crying to someone named Jimmy.
That sucks for him. But like...
Yeah. So like... Karma. Jimmy, no. Jimmy, stop. Jimmy. Whatever. His cell is still decorated the way he had it when he was there, which is hilarious because it says decorated. And if you look at pictures, it literally looks like a living room with a bed in it.
I think I've seen it before.
Yeah, it's got like a nice... See, it was like smacking your computer with your tail. There's like a nice cushy armchair and like a rug and like it... I mean, she bougie.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Oh, Siva. Siva's imitating Emily. Hilarious.
Serious, no. Don't make me laugh.
Sorry. That was funny, though. All right. And Al Capone ended up dying in 1947 on January 25th at the age of 48 in Florida. He wasn't murdered. He did die of, quote-unquote, natural causes. I believe it was like a heart attack.
Okay.
So, I forgot to write that down.
But. Cool.
Yeah, that's the quick and dirty of Al Capone. Yeah.
That's good. I'm surprised we didn't do that one before.
I know. I was too. I was like looking through my list. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, I haven't done Al Capone yet.
Do you want to do your sources?
Always.
Cool. Go.
I have just Wikipedia.org and FBI.gov. And I always like reading the FBI.govs on these guys because... They're very biased.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Very biased.
All right. Our socials are MW Madness Podcast on Instagram. Oh, on Facebook. Nope. on Instagram and Gmail, and our Facebook is Midwest Madness Podcast Group on Facebook.
Yes.
Cool, everybody. Have a great week. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh.
And we will talk to you next Tuesday.
Bye.